Welcome to another edition of The Power of Words with me, your host, Kevin Treasure, author of The Power of Words, The Winner's Mentality. Our aim is to help people win in life through the power of their words. You are born to win. Welcome to another edition of The Power of Words, The Winner's Mentality with me, your host, Pastor Kevin Treasure, aka The Winner's Mentality, helping you win with your words. And today I want to talk about the season and the times that we're living in. We are living in such a prophetic time, a time where we really need to be about our Father's business. Firstly, I just give honor to the Holy Spirit of God, about whom I can do nothing. Because as this podcast goes out, it's really about encouraging people to walk into their purpose and God's divine plan for their life. Amen. To maximize the moment. Amen. I tell people that your eyes see, your ears hear, your mouth speaks, your feet walk, your hands feel, your heart beats. Every part of your body has a purpose. That means you are born for a purpose. You're not here by happenstance or by accident. You are here for a purpose. There is a divine plan for your life. But sadly, many people live and die and never discover their true purpose. But I decree and I declare that that will not be your portion in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Entitled to this program today is really not missing your moment. Don't miss your moment. Don't miss your season. This is your season. What is God saying to you prophetically in this season? What is he saying to your spirit? What is he telling you to do? Many of us, we may tune in to men of God or women of God or religious programs and podcasts, YouTubes, which are great, Instagram, which are great. And there are many men of God that God is, and women of God that God is raising up in this season, in this time. But in all what is happening in the world, what is God saying to you? Don't miss your moment. Don't miss your season. Don't miss your time. God is doing something in the earth and he wants to involve you. You play a part. Amen. And it may be on a local scale. It may be on a national scale. It may be on an international scale, but in some scale, you play a part. There is purpose for your life. And God is saying, don't miss your season. Don't miss your moment. When we turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I believe. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I know it by heart, but let's just turn there. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. I'm going to say that again. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. So there's a season and there's a time to every purpose under heaven. So you could be in a good season, a right season, and the right time, but you're fulfilling the wrong purpose. So you've got to understand, okay, God, what is my purpose for this season of my life? Amen. In your 20s is not the time to be retiring. Amen. You've got to know the season that you're in, amen, and the purpose that you have for your season. When you are 8 months pregnant, that is not the time to be holding a gymnastics class. No, you've got to know the seasons and the times that you're in, and you've got to be sensitive to what God is doing, because you don't want to miss what God is doing. I truly believe there's a Kairos moment that God is bringing many of these people into. Amen. We know, amen, that Kairos is that a deign time for you to do what God has called you to do. And there's a Moedin time that God wants to bring you. The word for season is Moedin, amen, which means a prophetic appointment, meaning a certain times according to the clock of heaven where God wants to meet you. You've got to fulfill a purpose and a plan and a purpose that God is saying, now is the time. Run your race now. Amen. Go here. Do this. Meet that person. Sow there. Amen. Give that. Amen. Give yourself. Surrender. Amen. God is saying there's some things that you need to do. And he's saying, don't miss your purpose. There have been people all through scripture that didn't realize the time and the season that they were in. Amen. And they missed out on the good things of God. I decree that will never be your plan. That will never be your purpose. That will never be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You're not going to miss out on what God has for you. There's a man that came to Jesus, I believe in Luke. I believe in the book of Luke. In the book of Luke 18, the Bible talks about a rich young ruler. And the Bible says that he had everything. He was a rich guy. And he said, Jesus, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And that should be the question for every single one of us. Every single one of us should be asking that question. What do I do to inherit eternal life? Amen. And it's so easy. All we need to do is repent and put our trust in Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But when this rich ruler came to him, He said to him, he justified himself. He said, you know, Jesus said, you know the commandment. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. He pointed him to the law. He pointed him to the Ten Commandments, which, you know, is just a schoolmaster to bring us to the law. And he said, all these things I've kept from my youth up. I said, I've kept all these things. This is what I'm doing. But so he's justifying himself. And Jesus said to him, now Jesus heard these things. He said unto him, you lack one thing. There's just one thing that you lack. Sell all that you have, distribute to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me. There's a simple instruction. That's all he needed to do. This is what he wanted to do. You want eternal life? Listen to me. You want to follow me? You want to do great things? Just sell out. He's telling everybody, just sell out. And there's a message right there. I could go in right now. He's saying, just sell out to me. Give me everything. Don't give me some. Don't give me 50%, 95, 97. Just won't do. Sell out. Give me everything. Give me all. In fact, what you do have, just give it to the poor. Come. So another version says you're going to have riches in heaven. And the Bible says that he went away grieved. He was sorrowful because he was very rich. And another version says, in Mark's version, said he went away grieved. Amen. So he couldn't do what Jesus had told him to do. He wanted eternal life, but he couldn't do this one thing. God saw his heart. He saw, listen, he had a whole lot of things in order, but there was just one thing out of order. There was an idol in his life, and his idol happened to be money. And there are many people with the same idol. It happened to be money. And God was saying, I need you to sell out. Don't miss your divine moment. This man came into contact with the creator of the universe, with the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. And God asked him to do one thing. He was so close. His life was about to be changed. He was about to be known in the earth as a follower of Jesus and a disciple of the Master. Amen. And all God was telling him was this one thing. But he could not do it because that one thing was closer to his heart than God was. Don't let anything separate you from what God is about to do in your life. Don't let anything stop you or hinder you, delay you, derail you from what God wants to do in your life in this season. This man had it all, but there was one thing that he lacked. He didn't have what he wanted, he really, truly wanted, which was God himself, which is eternal life. Amen. Which is to do the will of God. Amen. It was his Kairos moment. He came to that point of no return, him and God, ready to do the will of God. But there was something that was closer to his heart than God. And it was his riches. It was his money. Don't let nothing separate you from this season that God is bringing you into. Don't let nothing stop you from the promised land that God is entering into you. He was at the edge of his breakthrough. And he was just on the tipping point, but he failed the number one test. Anytime we're about to go into the land that God has for us and the place that God wants us to occupy, there will be a test. It was his Kairos moment. It was molding time. Amen. It was that time for him to step into the plan and purpose of God for his life, but he failed the test. That will not be your portion. When we look in the book of Numbers, amen, and we see what God done for the children of Israel. I love this story. Anybody that follows me closely knows that this is one of my favorite stories in the whole of the New Testament, because it's a tragedy and it's a triumph. It just says so much about the human will, the human emotions. It says so much about who we are as humans and who you should listen to and the types of people there are in the earth. And we know that God's people were brought out of slavery by miracles, signs and wonders by the hand of Moses under a great Pharaoh, and he thought he was God, but God showed who the true and living God was, and he plagued Egypt with these so many signs and wonders. And the last one, you know, with the Passover and the blood on the door, and the death angel killed all the firstborn from the firstborn of the cattle. And then Pharaoh decided to let God's people go, and he didn't let them go empty because of a prophecy that come to Abraham. If God told Abraham 400 years earlier, he said, listen to me, you're going to be a true people, going to be brought into bondage, but they're going to come out with much spoil. They came out with gold and silver, jewelry, laden. Pharaoh tried to follow them into the Red Sea. You know the story, but the Red Sea opened. God's people went through, the enemy was covered, and God was bringing them into a good place. He was coming into a fat place. And the Bible said that they had traveled a few days. And God said, listen, I'm sending men, send 12 leaders from the head of each tribe to go and spy out the land that I have given to you. Listen to what he said. I have given you the land. Just go and send some leaders to go and spy out the land. And the Bible says he sent 12 leaders from each tribe. And the Bible says that they spied out the land for 40 days and for 40 nights. And they came back after 40 days of spying out the land. And this is what they said. And I love this story. And the Bible says in Numbers 13, verse 23, it says, "And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. And the place was called the brook of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down. And they returned from searching out the land for 40 days. And they came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel and unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them, and they told him and said, 'We came unto the land where you sent us. And surely,'" listen to what it says, "'and surely it flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it.'" So God is right about this. This is it. Surely God is right. It flows with milk and honey. It doesn't just have it. It flows with it. This is the fruit of it. This is the grapes. This is the pomegranates. This is the figs. This is just some of the fruit that we brought back. In fact, that they had to bring back grapes on such a pole so big they had to carry it between two. That was giant grapes that they were bringing back. And the Bible says, "Nevertheless," forget the nevertheless, "the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, the Amalekites, dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And the Bible says in 30, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.'" I love that Caleb spirit. "But when the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched out unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land that which we have gone to search it out is a land that eats up its inhabitants. Therefore, and all the people that we saw are men of great stature, and we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and we were in their sight.'" The Bible says that 10 men came with an evil report. It's amazing that God calls a negative report, and a report of unbelief, an evil report. When you don't believe God, he calls it evil. But two men, Joshua and Caleb, believed God. Two men said, "Listen, let's go up at once. We can do this. God has given us the land." But 10 men affected the whole congregation. 10 men caused the whole congregation to mourn and murmur and complain. And we see in the next chapter, they desired to go back to Egypt, go back to slavery. The people that saw God do miracles and signs and wonders, saw the now turn to blood, saw the flies and the locusts and the insects, the murmurs, the 3 days of 3 days of darkness and the months come upon the people of Egypt, and saw the destruction that came upon their enemies and the miracles and the signs and the wonders. And they said, and they went into the land and they saw all what God had done, but yet to come up and see a problem and forgetting so quickly what God has done for them. The Bible says that they murmured and they complained and they didn't believe God. Listen, they were on the edge of their breakthrough. They were just about to go into the promised land. And you've got to be careful when you're about to step into the promise of God, who you bring with you. You've got to be careful when you're about to step into the plan of God and the assignment of God. And in your Kairos moment, who you listen to, it's very important that you listen to the right voice. Listen, you've got to cancel out any voice of negativity, any voice of fear. Listen, you've got to kick the cowards out. You don't want cowards around you when you're going into the land. The Bible says that these 10 men affected the whole congregation to the fact where the Bible says in verse 14, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice, and they cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, 'Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, O good, would God that we died in this wilderness. Wherefore have the Lord brought us out into this land to fall by the sword, and that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. The Bible says that they said, oh, God wanted to bring us out here to destroy us, to destroy our children, to destroy our wives, destroy our families. These guys had the wrong concept of God that brought them the wrong outcome. You've got to be careful how you view God. The Bible says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a good and expected end. But these guys had a wrong concept of God. These guys thought God was out there to destroy them, to kill them. And there's still people like that out there in this world today that feel that God is sitting on the throne, waiting to judge them, waiting for them to get it wrong so he can strike them. No, that's not the God that we serve. Amen. The Bible says, being justified by faith, Romans 5 verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's given us a ministry of reconciliation. These guys had the wrong concept of God. And the Bible says, because of their belief, for each day that they wandered the land, that they searched out the land, God said, you're going to wander the wilderness 40 years. What was supposed to take them 3 weeks, a few weeks, took them 40 years. God said, I'm going to make you walk around this wilderness until this whole generation has died. None of you that murmured against me are going to see the land except for the only two that believe me, Joshua and Caleb. These guys are on the edge of their breakthrough. God brought them out of slavery, brought them out of bondage, just like God brought us out of slavery, brought us out of bondage. Amen. And God is bringing them to a fat land, a good land. And it wasn't supposed to take as long as it did. But unbelief kept them out. Don't let unbelief keep you out of the promise of God. These guys are on the edge of entering into what God had promised them and prophesied through his servant Abraham years ago, centuries ago. But these God failed to grab God and take hold of the word of God and take hold of the promise of God. On the edge of their breakthrough, they failed. Why? Because they listened to the wrong voice and got the wrong results. And what does it result in? A whole generation dying out. That this whole generation would never see what God wanted them to see and experience what God wanted them to experience. Don't miss your season. Caleb and Joshua had to endure another 40 years before they stepped foot in the land that God had given them. But God gave them the land. They enjoyed the land. But there was a delay in them going into the land. Don't let nothing delay you from obtaining the promises that God has for you. Don't let nothing delay you from occupying what God has called you to occupy. Many of you are going into the business world, and many of you are going into entertainment or in drama or in Hollywood. God is sending you. He's preparing you. He's been preparing you in this season of your life, and the season is changing. And God is saying, I'm about to shift the season, what you've been walking in, all what you've been going through in the last 4 years, 5 years, 7 years has culminated in this time, in this season. Don't miss your appointed season. Don't miss your time that God is bringing you into now. Don't miss it. God is bringing you now. He's been preparing you. He's been shaping you, shaping your attitude. Some of you have been going through a season of lack, a season of want, and God has been testing you. The Bible says, I humbled you and caused you to humble, amen, to know, to try you. God will try your heart. The Bible says, his eyelids try the heart of man. God will try you to see what was in you. And God is saying, I'm changing everything. I'm changing the season. Listen to me. And when the seasons change, you have to have on a different garment. Nobody wears a thick fur coat in summer. No, because you're going to be too hot. Nobody wears a bikini or shorts in winter. Why? Because you're going to be too cold. So he said, I'm dressing you. He said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. He said, I'm dressing you for where you're going. You're going to need me. You're going to need my guidance. You're going to need my wisdom. You're going to need my knowledge, my counsel. You're going to need my intimacy. You're going to need intimacy with me where you are going, where I'm bringing you to. There's going to be a closer walk, a closer walk, a call for a closer walk of you, a call for intimacy. Maybe seasons of fasting and seasons of prayer, seasons of waiting on the Lord and hearing what he's got to say and the direction that he wants to bring you in. But don't miss your season. The children of Israel missed their season and caused them to miss out on the best plans of God for their life. The Bible says 40 years later, when Moses died, amen, and all the children of that generation, all the people over 20 of that generation died, the Bible says Joshua now became the leader. And I love the book of Joshua when they went over to the Jordan, amen, and he sent out two spies because he knows the problem that 12 bring. He said, I'm not making that mistake again. I'm sending two. There's power in agreement. And the Bible says when they came into Jericho and they met Rahab, Rahab said, listen to me, the whole earth is melting because they heard what your God did to Egypt. He said, what took you so long? This is the Kevin Treasure translation. What took you so long? We know that your God is the God of heaven above and earth beneath. What took you so long? He said, listen to me, 40 years they've heard about you. So what took you so long? What was supposed to be a few weeks took them years. God is saying, I need you to prepare yourself for what I'm about to do. Because I'm about to do something great in the earth and I need you to involve it. I need you to be involved. There were two thieves on the cross next to Jesus. One on his left and one on his right. And they reviled on him. But after one came to himself and one said, Jesus, remember me when you enter into your Father's kingdom. The other said, if you be the Son of God, save us and yourself. So close, but yet so far. And one made it in that same day. He said, Jesus looked at him and said, this day, you're going to be with me in paradise. You see, when he closed his eyes, he saw a man whipped and beaten, disfigured and bruised on the cross hanging next to him in the same condemnation. People laughing and mocking him, spitting him and saying all types of evil against him. But in the blink of an eye, he was beholding his majesty and his glory in heaven. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, sitting high and lifted up, his train filling the temple, the God of glory. He was seeing him in his glory, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. He made it in. But the one reviled on him and said, if you be the Son of God, save us and save yourself. He was so close, but yet so far. Let that never be our portion in this season. Where God wants to bring you is a place of greatness. Where God wants to bring you is a place of renown. God wants to make your name great. He wants to do something great in your life. And God is saying, this is the season. The season is about to change. The year 5785, the year of grace, my hand of grace, 2025. God is saying, I'm shifting everything. I'm shifting everything. I'm about to do a new thing in the earth. And I know some preachers have made it pretty cliche, but God is about to do something new in the earth. But you're going to need to follow his voice. You need to be sensitive to his will, sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. When he says, stop, stop. When he says, go, go. Some of us need to step out into the unknown and do things we've never done before. But know for a fact that if God is for you, who can be against you? The season is changing. Don't miss your moment. Don't miss your Kairos moment. God is about to do something in your life that is going to blow your mind and the minds of those around you. This has been me, Kevin Treasure, a.k.a. The Winner's Mentality, helping you win with your word. Before I go, if you've heard this message and you haven't given your life to Jesus, that is the most important thing in my life and the light and the heart of God. That's why he came. He came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. So if you know that, listen, this is your moment and you know that God has been calling you and God has been dealing with you and you may be still out there and you've been partying and smoking, drinking, or you may not even been doing those things, but you know that God has been dealing with you and he's calling you and he's speaking to your heart and you know that God wants to do something in your life and that something is called salvation. He wants you to repent. He's simply saying, I want you to trust me. I want you to give up everything and put your trust in me. I want to change everything about you. But most of all, I want to save your soul. If you know you're a sinner, you're in need of a savior, because we're all born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Every single one of us. There is none righteous. No, not one. But the good news is that God commendeth his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for the ungodly. Amen. The righteous for the unrighteous. And all he's saying, come, come today. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. Why go to a place that wasn't prepared for you? This, the Bible says hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. But when you reject Jesus, that's the place you end up. No, that's not his purpose. He said, I'm not willing that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. And today is the day of salvation. Today is the acceptable day. See if you're ready to turn your life over to Jesus and say no to the world, no to the devil, and yes to God, because this Bible is being fulfilled right before your eyes. It's an invitation and it's open to all. Amen. It's open to all. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. See, if you're ready to say, yes, I'm ready. And some of you may say, I've done this before and I didn't do it right and I failed it. No, you're going to do it again. You're going to do it again. And God is working in you. There's a seed in you. This is why you're listening to this podcast, because the seed of righteousness is in you. And God won't let you go. Amen. He won't let you go. Amen. You're going to have to, if you want to go to hell, you're going to have to pass rivers of grace to get there. But God is calling you. And it's simple. You say, Heavenly Father, I come to you today. Ask you, forgive me of every sin that I've committed. Wash me in the blood of your Son, Jesus. Come into my heart, God. Make me a new creature. You said any man in Christ is a new creature. You said old things are passed away and behold, all things become new. I believe that you are the Son of God and you died for my sin. You said, if I believe in my heart, the Lord Jesus, that God has raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. Because of the heart, I believe, and of the mouth, confession is made unto righteousness. So, Lord, I thank you for writing my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I thank you for filling me with your Holy Spirit and using me for your glory. I surrender all to you, and I thank you that I'm saved in Jesus' name. If you've said that prayer, welcome to the family of God. Amen. Listen to me. If you're like me, you may be bald. You're still going to be bald. Amen. You're still going to be same size, same height, but something different has happened on the inside. Amen. God has made you a new creature. He's given you his Holy Spirit. He's come to live in you. Amen. You're a habitation of God and you belong to him. You are his property and you're going to win in life. Be blessed. This has been me, Pastor Kevin Treasure, aka The Winner's Mentality, helping you win with your words. Thank you for tuning to The Power of Words, The Winner's Mentality. Please remember to subscribe to our podcast and leave a review. Check out our website, kevintreasure.com. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook. You are born to win.